This podcast is brought to you by fin24.com.
G'day, my name is André Jansen van Vuren. Welcome to our weekly podcast on Mining Max. Today we're going to talk gold price. Gold hit a new record on Thursday. We are driving through $1,510 per ounce. Now, joining us is Paul Walker. He's the CEO of precious metals consulting firm GFMS to talk about the fundamentals driving the price of gold. Paul, GFMS has recently predicted the gold price for this year to peak at around $1,600 per ounce. Now that's not long way off from where we are now.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, I think the two ways of viewing this, and obviously we're still bullish. We believe there's upside for gold, and the reasons are fairly well articulated. Right? The primary issue for me is the global uncertainty about what fiscal and monetary authorities are going to do about the various imbalances that exist globally, and the unwillingness of those respective authorities to grasp the nettle of the inherent economic challenges facing the world is one of the reasons of seeing gold going up. But, you know, there is also, there isn't any forecast or any view of the future, there are some downside risks here. And I think one has to countenance that there is, you know, a possibility, I think a remote one, given the way the authorities are behaving at the moment, a remote one that they will finally decide to grasp a particular nettle of ultra-low negative real interest rates and the fiscal imbalances that currently exist. But if that were to come to fruition, then I think there's some downside risk for gold. But on the balance of probabilities where we sit today, I think the global macroeconomic scenario is extremely conducive for gold.
Paul, what have you seen in the markets at this point of time? Who's the big buyers at this stage?
Well, you know, I mean, I think the amazing thing, and I guess, you know, one of the great strengths of gold is that it actually has an incredibly diverse appeal. You have certain individuals who will be taking purely speculative positions in this metal, just believing that we're in a bull phase, that, you know, options, vols, and a range of other financial elements to this market make it appealing for speculative investors. There are, on the other extreme, there are, you know, buy to hold funds who have taken a long term view on gold, who bought it and carry on buying it because they believe that there's just a lot of uncertainty and upside potential for gold. And then there are, you know, your mom and pop kind of buyers who are going out and picking up coin and small bar, putting those into their little vaults at home or hiding them under the bed. So there's a really diverse group of people buying it. And I think to try and split this out into any, you know, kind of coherent single group that's driving it would be to actually mistake what makes gold such a compelling buy in this market. It appeals to a vast array of risk appetite, a vast array of people who have fears about very different things. And, you know, the point I often make to our clients at GFMS is that there are buyers out there who are going into the market for often contradictory reasons, but nonetheless, gold still has tremendous appeal. So I don't think there's any single category of buyer, just a lot of people who are very, very worried about the ambivalence of the monetary authorities at the moment.
Paul, you mentioned monetary concerns being one of the key drivers of the gold price at the moment. Are there other issues that's also core to the drive in the price at the moment?
I think the simplest way to answer this is, yes, there are downside risks for gold. And, you know, this is something I've been highlighting for the better part of 3 or 4 years now. And curiously, I still get accused of being a gold bear, when in fact, you know, we've been consistently calling higher gold prices. But I do say, and I always caution, that there is a downside risk for gold. Now, I think that downside risk has certainly diminished in the last few months. on the back of not what the fiscal authorities have been doing per se, but really the monetary authorities.
Yeah.
You know, the driver of gold prices, going back a number of years, one of the appeals of gold has been the low opportunity cost of holding it in virtually all of the major currencies. And I often use this term when I describe the gold market. What is the glue that holds the store together in many diverse markets, from China to India to Europe to the United States? The glue that holds us together is the fact that all of these markets have either ultra-low or negative real interest rates. And as long as the monetary authorities of the world, and especially in these jurisdictions, are happy to stoke the fires of the economy through very, very low interest rates to try and offset the headwinds of rebalancing the economy, which is quite clearly required in most of the major jurisdictions, from China through the United States, there are still key imbalances there. Until they are willing to raise interest rates and bring this back into balance, gold will continue to do well. And now, the converse of that is, if surprisingly tomorrow, either the Federal Reserve or the European Central Bank or the Chinese monetary authorities, or maybe it is the bond market, decide that the price of credit is too low, needs to be increased significantly and materially, that's when I think gold starts to face some serious headwinds. But, you know, if you'd asked me this question, and I keep on repeating this, if somebody had asked me this question a year ago, I would have guessed that the monetary authorities would have started to have addressed these inherent problems sooner rather than later. There doesn't seem to be the political stomach to do it, and one of the reasons you're seeing gold moving higher is because the market, speaking with their dollars and euros and renminbi and rupees and whatever it is, and saying, we don't trust you, we don't believe that the monetary policy stance and the fiscal policy stance is sustainable. We don't actually believe the authorities when they stand up and saying, we're doing our best to redress these imbalances. In fact, the market's saying quite the opposite. We just don't believe anything you're saying, and we're going to diversify our risk into assets like gold and silver and a range of other assets to hedge our risk.
Paul, you mentioned silver there. Is silver also driven by the same fundamentals as gold?
Well, I think the yes and no is the answer. I mean, yes, to the extent that investment demand is a key driver in these markets. People are saying, you know, the financial assets that are out there, fiat currencies, there is a genuine fear that there's going to be some debasement of these through inflation, through whatever mechanism one cares to describe. But, you know, presumably the final mechanism is some kind of inflationary debasement of these currencies. And, you know, the drivers to both gold and silver in that sense are similar. Where silver differs to gold is that there is a genuine physical underpinning of silver's appeal. There are very few things, mechanical, electronic devices that one uses today that don't contain silver. And we've seen incredibly robust silver demand, especially on the back of the kind of restocking and recovery post the crisis of 2008. So silver has both a positive industrial story, plus it also has a positive jewelry story in the sense that it's been a move away from gold into silver in the jewelry sector, especially in North America and Europe. And on top of that, you've got the positive investment story. So there are common elements, but also some important differences.
That was Paul Walker, the CEO of GFMS. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.